everyone. My name is Amy Coonan Taylor, and I am a marketer on a mission to find out how big ideas can solve today's biggest problems. This passion is why I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share the transformational stories of entrepreneurs, industry influencers, and the world's biggest brands. With past episodes featuring leaders from powerhouse organizations like Seven Generation, the Atlanta Hawks, the National Wildlife Federation, and startups like Impossible Foods, Blue Land, the show is sure to engage, educate, and inspire the next generation of innovators. Don't forget to subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeartMedia so you don't miss a thing. You can check out rubicon.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, we are talking to a Kentucky entrepreneur whose startup is helping restaurants grow their business digitally. Mo Sloan, founder of Easy Chow, is with us today, and I'm so excited to get to talk to you. Mo, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity, Amy. I'm excited to share my story and help people maybe out there that are thinking about entrepreneurship as well.
So before we get into, you know, your background and the solution, I did want to hear your philosophy on innovation. What was the problem that you were trying to solve? And then how does your solution relate to each other?
Sure. So the problem we were initially trying to solve was providing digital ordering capabilities for restaurants, for independent and smaller chain restaurants that allow them to compete with their larger competitors. So my background personally was I used to work for Papa John's International here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I really got to see firsthand the value of technology and how it accelerated their business. And it started making me think about what about restaurant concepts and hospitality organizations that don't have the resources, such as the Papa John's, the Yum Brands, et cetera. So that was the original intent and idea and genesis behind the Easy Chow product and the company.
So you mentioned working at Papa John's corporate, but walk me through your professional timeline a little bit to becoming an entrepreneur. What did your path to Easy Chow look like?
Sure. So I was on the path that the majority of people I imagine are on, where you go to work for corporate America, you go work for a large company, and you climb up the corporate ladder, right? Being a child of the 80s and 90s, you know, you did see some things related to entrepreneurship, but it wasn't really until the dot-com explosion in the late 90s, early 2000s, that you started seeing more entrepreneurship being more obtainable and maybe possible for the common individual, so to speak. But from my perspective, it was really about perfecting my technical skills. I've always enjoyed working with computers and technology. In fact, fun little kind of trivia to show you how much a nerd I am. I used to run a bulletin board system, a BBS, back in the day, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s before. This was way before the internet. So I was comfortable with technology, but I continued to work for organizations such as Republic Bank, went to UPS, United Parcel Service, Papa John's, and then I left Papa John's and went to Humana. Once I was at Humana, then that's kind of where I just didn't know if I fit in the culture. I was really looking for opportunity to advance, but I didn't think it was going to be something that I was going to be able to do at Humana. I thought I was going to have to basically generate and create the opportunity myself. And I started looking at platforms for small businesses, originally started in a totally different space in the spa salon, massage studio space, developing online booking software. But it just wasn't a good fit because of my lack of business knowledge in that space. So then I pivoted and turned to working with restaurants. And this was, you know, obviously way before COVID and whatnot. But yeah, so it was an aha moment. A couple of things happened in my personal life that really made me start thinking about what would my legacy be. And I wanted to at least take a shot at potentially creating generational wealth for my family and my offspring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the idea and everything and how I started Easy Chow.
So now let's dig into the actual solution a little bit. How exactly does it work for the restaurants? What are you guys doing for them?
Yeah, so we recognize that even pre-2020, pre-2019, we recognize the need for restaurants to start developing their own e-commerce capabilities, right? Especially in the pizza space, because it was getting to be common that if you're a pizzeria or similar, that you need to have online ordering. It just makes sense. So we focused, our initial focus, because of my technical background and experience, was integrating with the point of sale system for merchants. We believe that the integration offered the best efficiency, obviously, because it would just online ordering and e-commerce capabilities would just, for lack of a better term, flow into their current operational processes. It wouldn't require much changes. So that's kind of what the solution was about, was developing a ordering solution that integrates into a point of sale. Now, of course, things change and things have become a little bit different now. And so the real opportunity at hand, and what we try to educate our merchant partners on, and potential merchant partners on, is the fact that they need to have their own digital ordering channel. You can't rely exclusively on the third-party marketplaces, such as Uber Eats, Grubhub, et cetera, even though they may bring you customers, which is fine. That long-term customer, if you think of it like a startup, the long-term customer acquisition costs outweigh the benefits of using that channel exclusively. By having their own direct ordering channel, their own digital e-commerce channel, it allows them to leverage digital orders, but get those through a cheaper form of customer acquisition, as well as maintain that relationship because they have access to the customer data, of course, and essentially service their customers, avoiding the fate of becoming a wholesale business in a marketplace model that ultimately you will become, because you will lose your brand identity because customers and consumers start engaging with the third party marketplace more than your brand, and your brand becomes an afterthought.
So speaking about the market, you know, how much of that innovation and product development and all the work that you were doing was just self-driven? You know, you saw the problem, versus how much of it do you think was inspired by market demand?
So a lot of it is, I would say, about 50-50, right? I knew from my personal experience and the team that we built from our personal experiences, a lot of us are ex-Papa John's or ex-restaurant tech employees. So we have some knowledge about operationally and about the business. So we were able to, you know, define some things. But a lot of it, what makes us unique in the space is that we work with our merchant partners. We consider if they're successful, we will be successful. It's I try to build the company and position the company to consider us like an IT resource, an IT software development shop for restaurants and hospitality organizations. So a lot of their needs will drive things, changes in our platform. For example, we have a merchant partner out of Atlanta, Copeland's in New Orleans, the Atlanta-based franchisee, and they have a very sophisticated catering operation that they have. And we've implemented some things that allow, based upon their request, to allow us to satisfy and allow them to basically perform their catering operations at a very highly effective, efficient manner, but there's a lot of business that goes through their platform in the months of November, December, et cetera. So yeah, it's really about a partnership and working together with the merchant. While we want to minimize customizations as much as possible, we also understand that a lot of times a merchant may have a challenge and it's not unique to them. And so it's up to us to find a way to make that a repeatable solution for that merchant, as well as other merchants that are using our platform.
Being in the restaurant space is, you know, it's very exciting. It's fun. I used to work in restaurant PR myself, but obviously the last year and a half, you know, with COVID, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, has made that industry kind of turn on its head. So let's talk, you know, for a few about the pandemic. How did Easy Chow pivot? How were you there for your merchants and your customers? What does the last year and a half plus look like for both you and the business?
Yeah, so we didn't have to pivot much for COVID. We were just continuing to do what we needed to do. What did happen in impact for us, we saw a surge in volume and demand, which meant that we had to increase the resiliency on our platform and our systems and network, et cetera. So we worked a lot of 2020 was increasing the capability to handle increased demand that we saw. That's kind of the pivot that we saw, as well as, you know, adding additional marketing capabilities, et cetera, to the platform to allow the merchant to generate more revenue. Now, one of the challenges that still remain, of course, as I'm sure everybody's aware, is labor challenges. And so that, but that makes it difficult for the merchant, for us, for people, you know, all across the industry, because the lack of labor, the lack of labor, or the lack of access to labor, or, you know, various labor challenges.
So your concept and, you know, food tech company and being point of sale seems like it could be headquartered, you know, on either coast. You could be in LA, you could be in New York, you know, but I'm really fascinated why staying in Louisville, Kentucky. How has that helped develop your business? How has that hometown pride instilled in Easy Chow?
I don't think the hometown pride is instilled in Easy Chow because we fortunately have a lot of food-based companies here. For example, Papa John's International was up until recently based here. Yum Brands continues to be based here. Long John Silver's and A&W restaurants, for example, are in Lexington. And there's a lot of the Bridgman family, which is very well known within the food space, restaurant space. Their headquarters are located here. So we're fortunate that we're kind of in a good ecosystem for that. But the advantage of our platform, the advantage of technology as it is today, is that we work with merchants all across the country and really the globe. We even have a merchant in Guam. We're working with a merchant in Jamaica. And so really, we work with merchants anywhere. But we believe that we can build a successful, scalable, high-growth business in Louisville, Kentucky, just as well as in Austin, Texas, or San Francisco, or New York, or Boston, or you name Miami, you name whatever hotspot you want. But because it's really about relationships. And at the end of the day, we're a service provider, and we want to provide great service for organizations that are servicing their customers. So it's important for us to provide great service. And one of the unique things about Louisville, I think this may answer your question better, but Louisville, because of where it's at on the map, is there's a lot of Midwestern feel to it, but it's really the northernmost southern city. So you have a good melting pot of cultural influences and whatnot. So it makes it unique.
I ask because, you know, I started reading your story in a magazine article online with 50 Kentucky, you know, innovative tech companies. We, Rubicon, are headquartered in Kentucky as well. And it's very cool for us to see other entrepreneurs and innovators in the tech space, you know, coming out of Kentucky, like you said, working with merchants all over the world, you know, but headquartered in a cultural melting pot. Before I let you go, we are going to play our rapid fire game. It's no biggie. I'm just going to ask you 10 quick questions and you're going to fire off the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. One, what is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
Check email.
Who or what is your favorite band or artist?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. Who's my favorite band or artist? I would say Tupac, just for the historical implications and growing up around that timeline. So that was an influential person, you know, in culture then. So in pop culture. So Tupac.
How do you take your coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Okay. What's one piece of advice you'd give to an aspiring entrepreneur?
One piece of advice I'd give to start early, start as early as you can when you can risk as much as you can. So, but that doesn't mean that, hey, if you're in your 40s, I'm happy to be in my mid 40s. I didn't get started really until late 30s. That's too late. But if you can start early, do that. If not, then you have to be just a little bit. You have to be just a little bit more cautious because you have more, you know, you have more things to lose. So you just have to just get an idea you believe in the idea and follow through it and see it through to the end.
What was the last movie that you saw in theaters?
Oh, Shang-Chi. I think we just went and saw that not too long ago.
What is one thing that the last couple years of the pandemic taught you personally?
Resiliency, right? That people, it's not as always bad as it seems, it's not as always good as it seems. Keep fighting through, and education matters. I think it really impacted kids and whatnot. And so, but yeah, just keep fighting through and some things are out of your control. Doesn't matter. You have to still go forward. Don't give up.
What is one major victory or milestone in your career thus far?
I would say a victory milestone was getting the company to the point that we've got the company to. growing, taking something that had no value and generating value for it and generating value on a recurring basis is a, was a win. And I'm proud of that accomplishment. I'm proud of the things that our team has done. And I look forward to continuing to grow the company. So just the growth I've had personally and professionally from this endeavor is the most thing I'm most proud of.
Speaking of growth, where do you see EasyChow in 5 years from now?
So I see EasyChow with a larger platform, more market reach, and just larger version of ourselves. We ultimately want to provide the, we want to help the restaurant or any on-demand merchant basically manage their business digitally through our platform at some point and let them focus on their core capability. So hopefully we're working towards that, making progress on that goal.
What are you reading right now?
Right now, I would say that I'm reading a book. What is it called? You Are a Message. I got this from a accelerator program we ran called Food Foundry, which is very helpful. It's out of Chicago, and that's what I'm currently reading.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
That's a very fluid question. It changes every day. Success means to me doing the best that I can and looking back and having no regrets, right? At the end of the day, we're all on this planet, on this rock for a limited amount of time. And I just want to, and I just want to look back and say, I had a good run, you know, not with anybody's standards, just my own standards, right? Just, and that's what success will look like, that I did my best and this is the result. And so I can live with that.
Mo, I just wanted to thank you again for chatting with me. It's very cool to get to tell the entrepreneurial story of another, you know, Kentucky company that's using really big and innovative ideas to solve big problems. And I know that I certainly won't be the only one inspired after this episode airs. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the time. Like I said, I'm always appreciative of the opportunity to speak about my personal experiences as it may help other people. And feel free, anyone out there listening, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or email, and I'll help as much as I can.